Okay. I call this recess over. The suggestion was made that we could certainly begin discussing where we are at. Now, when we did this originally 2 years ago, we did little pieces of paper, and what did you think? So how do you want this to proceed as far as where we are today? Or I got the sense that's what we wanted to talk about, was kind of like, what are our opening thoughts?
I'd like to talk about theory more than amounts right now.
That's fine.
And the reason is, Deborah,
the floor is yours.
We don't have all the data.
No, I understand,
right?
That.
I mean, I kind of want the data before I can say it should be this amount, right? I mean, we probably all have little thoughts in our brain on where it should be, but I'd like the data before we say I think it should be 2.87%,
right.
You know. But I think we can talk about theory.
So go ahead. You've got the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the data before I really even present what I think.
Okay.
You know, I think that's fair.
Hey, I'm sorry for interrupting. This is Greg. I'm back online.
Okay. We're just talking about where we want to go from here.
I heard that.
Okay.
I heard that last little bit. Sorry.
So, Joseph?
Joseph Boyle. I defer to Mayor Joy if you want to give what he was saying, but I also can say it myself. Is that I believe we should talk, and we don't really have the data yet, so, but I think we have to, conceptually, the way I look at it is, if we're going to give a raise at all, we have to pick an index, and I don't know what index is, an appropriate index, and that is something that I do believe is our purview. I think if we decide on a raise, which again we have to have the information, I totally agree. Then we would set a salary, and if, let's say there was a cost of living, and I don't know the numbers, but let's say there was a 2.5 cost of living adjustment that seems to be the appropriate index. And I'm not saying cost of living is the appropriate index, because I realize there's five or six different ones, but whatever one we pick. Then you put that number in there with an increase, and then the salary will then be the base salary plus that cost of living, and we say our number is now the higher number, which was based upon a cost of living adjustment because we just recently had studied it. You know, I think in 5 or 6 years, although we can't focus on other councils, you know, maybe they want to do a more in-depth study of the salary structure and stuff, but I don't think we should do that every you know, we already did that, and that's what I see. So I see our mission as being limited, although I don't like the discussion we had upon per diem. I have no problem with people saying, like we did in the past, that if per diem was eliminated, that the number would be different, but as long as it isn't eliminated, why are we going to spend a lot of time?
Gloria?
That's my thought.
Sorry, Gloria?
I think that the figuring out the index to use is one part of the equation. I come from having practiced family law, and in family law you have an opportunity every other year as a spousal maintenance or child support recipient to ask for a cost of living adjustment. And the inflation piece of it is one half. The other is whether the obligor, the person who's paying it, has had their income increase at the same rate. If we have an analogous situation here where we're looking at the cost of living increasing, we also need to look at, and which is our mandate, to look at the financial health of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to link those two if we are looking at a formulaic approach to this, that we look at the index, and that we likewise look at whether we, some measurement of how the state's income has gone up at the same time to decide whether they fit and a raise is appropriate.
Okay, James?
I agree with both Joseph and Gloria. My thing is, you know, and we all know in a private sector, you always look at performance of the job, and we just talked about this a little bit ago. It's hard for us to judge performance of a job on this level, like Kenneth said over there. And, you know, so I agree with us having to come up with an index of where we got to be at, and looking at our budget to what it is, and really what it is. You know, I think, you know, when I work on the city level, I always look at what the city's doing. There I can do a little bit on performance, but again, it's government, it's the way it is, so lays out that way. We follow a lot of cost of living is what we follow on that level, you know. So of course Social Security was 2% in 18 and 2.8 in 19, so that's kind of where we follow our level of stuff. So just input on that.
Ken Wallace here. I pretty much agree with that and what Gloria said there. We need to look at those things. We kind of set the base now. We got that at 45. We just need to work with some kind of inflator from there. And then there's always the fact that future legislative salary council people can adjust it down the road should something drastic happen, you know, like 1,000,000% inflation like Venezuela had last year, you know. I mean, that's what the future councils can change it, whatever we do.
I just wanted to, Sherry, you know, when you think about the work a legislator does, it's hard to compare it to the private sector or even maybe government workers. People go in at a certain hour and they leave at a certain hour. In this job, they go and they have extended hours and they have extended responsibilities in their community. And those extended responsibilities do cost them money. And so I just think that we need to be mindful that a legislator just doesn't come up and go for hearings from 9 to 5. They're there till 11 and 12. They have to go back to their communities, and they have to hold town hall meetings, which, you know, all of a sudden they really are doing them now. You know, because there was a time when they didn't. And so there are, you know, so when we talk about performance, there are a lot of other performance things that they do. Yes, it would be hard for us to measure, but I think that we have to give some recognition to that in terms of the compensation and the level of work and obligation.
Bill?
I have two things. One is I think that we should consider looking at indexes. I think we should look at cost of living. I think we should look at Social Security. I also think we should look at the raises that have been given to other public employees. I do not think we should raise the salaries of our legislators higher than the salaries of state employees were raised. And as I look at this, that looks to me like the max is 4.25%. And I think that's an important thing for us. The other second thing that I feel a little strongly about is I think on per diem, I think we should continue our recommendation that was in the last report. I continue to be befuddled by the fact that it's actually income to them, and but it's not counted in income when we actually look at it. So those are my two issues.
Someone on the phone trying to talk?
Yeah, this is Laura Witte. I agree with I like the idea of a per diem statement in there at least to make the recommendation about that. But I also think it's imperative that we have the information on how much 1% or 1.5% or 2% is going to cost as it relates to the budget.
And
this is Greg Fox.
Okay.
I agree with both components of what Gloria said.
Sherry, and then.
That's okay. I
know that.
I just wanted to. Our last report references a CPIU. I would just like to, if we are going to pick the index, whether it's a Social Security measurement or the CPIU, that we put that in place and that it be consistent going through from year to year.
Yeah, I agree.
Whichever
you don't want to jump
index
back
it
and
is.
Forth.
Right.
Okay.
For clarity, this is Diana Burleson. For clarity on Bill's comment about the 4.5, so you're including merit increases with the cost of living?
I'm including on the chart that was given to us today, it shows that state employees got a 2% increase in 17 and a 2.25% increase in 18. I just added those together and got the 4.5.
So since it's
like
2 years rather than one each
yep.
year.
Right. So it's a
clarification,
yeah. Right.
And I don't know if that's average or if that includes merit or if that includes, you know, COLAs and step increases and all that.
Yeah, we have to get that defined.
This is Marcia Vandenberg. I agree that I would prefer not to belabor the per diem conversation and just move forward with some sort of an index increase.
This is Tom Stinson.
the state employees, I think that doesn't increase. I don't think that includes what's called progression, which is moving down the lane with each year of experience. And so we need to be sure with it for our report whether we're counting progression or not. The second thing is on the item that Gloria mentioned where you have to have some idea of the financial health of the state, that the measures should not be the budget deficit or surplus or whatever. It should be the change in revenues. So we should look at that. Let's add one other thing. Oh, I know. There was some question about whether we should use the U.S. number or Minnesota number. And I think we should use the U.S. numbers because Minnesota numbers come from a, no matter whether it's wages or CPI or whatever, come from a relatively small sample. And historically, there really hasn't been much difference between the U.S. and Minnesota number.
Diana?
Again, for clarity on what Bill said, the 4.5, we shouldn't include the 7117 2% because we actually implemented our raise on 7117. It would reflect that 2%. Mm-hmm. So should look at 7/1/2018 and whatever information we could get for 19.
My point was to not exceed what we pay public employees.
Yep.
And that they have it annually, and we're only doing this every other year.
Okay.
I think we're all on the same page then.
This is Randy Twistle. Tom, could you explain in a little bit more detail not to look at surplus deficit but change in revenue? Could you explain that just a moment? Or just a bit?
Gloria was the one that talked about the ability of the person paying child support to afford the payment. And here, part of what budgeting is adjusting to the resources that you have. And this should be part, we should be focused on the resources, not on the relative surplus or deficit. Now, we can make a decision if there were to be a deficit. We can make a decision as to what the proper level should be and cut the amount that we have in there. But the broad comparison seems to me to be revenues, not surplus or deficit, especially looking on out into the future if inflation isn't included in the surplus or deficit number for the planning estimates.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Tom?
Go
ahead.
I
was going to clarify.
Yeah, I think a little bit of discussion on the per diem, just so I think I understand it. What personal expenses are not covered that the legislators can't be reimbursed? There's lodging, there's mileage, there's
cell phone,
food.
I believe they're all covered.
Madam Chair, the per diem covers their meals,
meal costs while they're here.
Okay. So meals are not in there.
Right. And any local travel that they have while they're during session, getting around the Capitol complex and their apartments and such.
Okay. So what I brought up earlier is if, you know, if there's other high state agencies that have a meal allowance or something that we could maybe look at, and that could maybe be offered as being covered. But per diem to me in the business world is reimbursement of expenses. I think per diem in the legislative world is personal salary decision. And I think the testimony we got from the legislators 2 years ago, and I don't know if we can summarize and bring some of that back, encouraged us to look at it and said it was frustrating, that part of the compensation package. So a little bit of what I have in my mind, and I haven't made a decision on this, I want to keep going through the discussion, is to consider holding the salary at what it is and highlight per diem, because I think it's misunderstood. And 2 years from now, and even having a report to, you know, encourage the next salary council to look at cost of living and things like that. But I think we did a very good job last year at fulfilling our charge. And I think highlighting this issue intrigues me, the per diem issue intrigues me this year, and that doesn't prohibit the next salary council from going to a cost of living type of model. We might be setting a precedent on this salary council on a cost of living path if we go down that path. So I'd like the group to have some discussion on that. And I don't know, is a brief summary of what past testimony 2 years ago, does that make sense to look at that, or should we just look at our personal notes?
And I don't think we can consider that. I mean, while we all served on the last one, I don't think that we can consider the testimony that was received during the last council and this. I don't think we can consider it again.
Okay.
I don't think it's as strict as a court or evidentiary standard, but I think you do have to explain your rationale as this council, so you may review the old report and agree to adopt some of the same rationales, but you want to make sure you're making your decision based on what you are hearing for this council's decision.
So to be clear, if I brought up in a conversation, so-and-so legislator said this 2 years ago, from my notes, that's appropriate or inappropriate?
I think it depends how it's used. If that seems to still be the same situation today based on what you hear this session, that these were the concerns voiced then that haven't changed, this is informing my decision now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Does that clarify it?
No, but my main point isn't to bring up past testimony. My main point is, to Randy's point on a theory, I'm considering a theory personally of just leave the salary at where it's at, highlight the per diem issue, what it is, what is per diem, what isn't per diem, because I think it's misunderstood in the general public, and then ending the report with, of course, future legislative salary commission bodies can go to a cost of living increase or whatever. I think we're operating personally within a relatively short period of time of 2 years from where we made the change. 2 years, there'll be an opportunity for another change.
Go ahead, Bill.
I think that we ought to clarify what per diem is and isn't, because that would be helpful, I think, just for our discussion. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, Greg, you can do that, because I worked for government for 35, 40 years, and per diem for me was always you had to be traveling. That's when you got per diem, and the per diem was a substitute for paying for your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that was what I understood it. And what I understand now is if I'm a legislator and I live in the Twin Cities and I go home, I have breakfast and I go home for dinner, I still get per diem. And
still take it.
And that seemed wrong to me. The other thing I have is the statute says we have to take into account the most recent budget forecast. Is that not what just happened yesterday?
Yes, that's exactly what we need to take into account.
And we're going to get that in 2 weeks.
Right, and how does that, respond to revenues? I mean, is there a revenue component in there?
Yeah, there's a revenue component in it, and a expenditure component, and a net budget balance. And what I'm saying is, look at the revenues,
right,
not the net budget balance.
Got it. So, but your concern will be dealt with, right, when we hear the presentation.
Yes.
This is Gloria. Will the presentation that we're going to receive about the budget be available prior to the meeting on the 15th?
You can read the forecast book, which explains all that's going on in there off the MMB site. You can get that. That's a pretty big tome to peruse through, but there are shorter versions also on the MMB site, and so you can find out almost anything you want to know with a little bit of work.
I'm just wondering if, to expedite our conversation the next time, if we can have that available sooner than later, and then to the gentleman who came and gave public testimony, if that's also linked on the website as an item we're considering, so that everyone knows that we're looking at it.
Madam Chair, we can send you a link to the state budget. There's a PowerPoint that they use in presenting to legislators and state officials. That's very understandable. And then, as Tom said, there's the full budget that's like that.
Don't need the full budget. Thanks.
You don't want to wade through it?
No, good.
Okay. Are there further comments, questions, statements?
This is Randy again. Greg, so what indexes will you be providing for us? Or what will you gather?
So, Madam Chair, we gave you the CPI for the last two fiscal years.
Right.
We'll update that. I think we can update that to capture the last 6 months.
Okay.
We'll get you the Social Security numbers. I think
yep.
James has already pointed to that. We'll get you private sector numbers. I
from
think the deed numbers.
Good.
Those
are good. Okay.
Were there others?
You were going to do a chart to show the cost at 1%.
Yes, yes, separate item, but we'll be doing that as well.
Right, and then the forecast.
Yeah.
And then some testimony. Hopefully also from rural.
Yeah, Madam Chair, so try to get some members from rural. We're trying to get members who recently served, so they experienced the 45,000,
right,
and are no longer members. We'll see if we can capture a couple of those folks. And it'll be all House members, since none of the Senate was not up for re-election.
Well, I don't know if you have to have the salary. I think, at least on the explanation of per diem, it could be somebody within the last 4 to 6 years to give a good explanation of why it is.
And how necessary, I mean,
why it's important.
Right.
What I've heard is that when you're more than 50 miles away, you know, you're talking about travel. Well, the fact is that you have all sorts of incidental expenses when you live in your community, but you're down here. And those are the reasons that a lot of these people support per diem. Even in our criticism, we point out that many states, 24 states, give higher per diems than we do. 42 states have per diems, at least at the last time. Just reading our report, our criticism seems to me to be more political and opinionated than based upon the legislation that we have. But that's what every council gets the choice to do.
Other comments, questions, conversation? Are there any other items of business that we would like to take up today? Then I will remind everyone our next meeting is at 10 a.m. in this building. You will circulate.
Yes, but
the information
there, not blocked in here.
On Friday, March 15th, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
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 Do you have to take a roll call for that?
Submit your expense reports, that's helpful, and then drive carefully.